Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Or in the NIV, it says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for bringing us to your presence, bringing us to church, helping us to pray to you and worship you, hear your word, and seek your face together. We ask that you would come and speak to us, stir our hearts, God, to pray for the things that are on your heart, and pray for our church. And give us a joy. Give us your joy this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's passage, Jesus is teaching his Sermon on the Mount. And he says, blessed are the gentle, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is the third teaching in the Beatitudes. The word meek or gentle is the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 11, verse 29, when Jesus describes himself as being gentle and humble in heart. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. That word gentle, I am gentle, is the same Greek word. So it could be translated, I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 21, verse 5, it says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. That's Jesus. Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So again, here in this verse, it's describing Jesus as being gentle. And the picture of his gentleness, his meekness, is that he's coming to you mounted on a donkey. He's not lifting himself up, sitting on whatever, a war horse, beautiful, the best horse in the land of Israel, right? He's sitting on a donkey and taking a humble posture, entering into the city of Jerusalem. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23, gentleness is the same Greek word, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And there's another picture of gentleness that really speaks to me is Matthew chapter 12, verse 18 to 21. It says, it's another Old Testament quote from Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. And look at verse 19. It says, he will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. So here you see a picture of Jesus, and his meekness, his gentleness is shown in verse 19 and 20. It says, he will not quarrel or cry out. He will not fight back. The context of this is that in Matthew 12, 13 to 17, Jesus heals a man, stretch out your hand, and he stretches it out and it's completely restored. But the Pharisees see him healing on Sabbath and they decide, we're going to plot how we're going to kill Jesus. It says, but the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. And verse 15, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place, and a large crowd followed him, and he kept healing who were ill, but he said, he warned them not to tell others about him. And then it says in verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. So we see this, the Pharisees trying to plot and kill Jesus. The crowd still love Jesus and they're coming after him. Jesus doesn't fight back the Pharisees. He withdraws to a place. The crowd follow him. He's still healing them. But he says, don't tell anybody. We're not about starting a revolution. You know, we're not about somehow, you know, gaining traction and momentum and taking over. He's like, don't tell people about what's happening. And Matthew points out that that was to fulfill what is said in Isaiah about him not quarreling, not crying out. No one hears his voice in the streets. He's not out there trying to make a name for himself and win people over and, you know, defeat the Pharisees in that sense. And then in verse 20, I love this picture. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Just think of a candle that is almost dying, right? There's a small smoldering wick, and he doesn't snuff it out. There's a bruised reed. He doesn't just trample over it and break it. I love that picture of gentleness. Not trampling over people. Not trampling over people that when you look at them, maybe they seem like a smoldering wick to you, a bruised reed, and not many people are paying attention to them. Not many people will take the time maybe to encourage that person or care for that person. But a gentle person, Jesus, doesn't trample over that person. He will stop and he will minister to that person. And to me, it's really powerful because I think every single one of us, we have been that bruised reed, that smoldering wick. In our lives, we go through periods, you know, times in our lives where we fail. We make a mistake. We keep making the same mistake. We keep making the same sin. And we recognize that we're not very good at something. You know, we try to preach, we try to minister, we try to lead, we try to do this or that, and we fail. And we're so keenly aware of just how incapable we are. And those times are when we see ourselves as a smoldering wick and a bruised reed. We've all been there. But how impactful is it to have Jesus come to us in those times, encouraging us, instead of putting us down, instead of condemning us or shaming us? I mean, Jesus wouldn't do that. But how impactful is it to have your leader, your house church leader, your friend come to you in those moments, and instead of putting you down and saying, man, you sucked, or you're a terrible person, how can you do this, and how, you know, how could you not get this right? Instead, they come to you and they don't trample over you, but they encourage you. And they say, hey, I still believe in you. Yes, that wasn't the best preaching or leading that you could have done. But look, we're not giving up. We're not done yet. Let's keep going. They encourage you. They affirm you. They believe in you. And that's a picture. That's gentleness. You know, that's being gentle and meek towards someone that might be struggling, that might be a bruised reed, a smoldering wick. Another picture of gentleness and meekness that we see in Scripture is this idea of stooping down, coming down to someone else's level. In Psalm 18, verse 35, it says, "You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand upholds me." And it says, "Your gentleness makes me great." But that word gentleness has the idea of coming down. It like descending, stooping down. In other versions, it'll say, "You stoop down to make me great." Meaning God comes down to your level to help you become greater than you can be on your own. Psalm 113, verse 4 through 9, it says, "Yahweh is exalted above all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like Yahweh our God? the one enthroned on high. And verse 6 it says, so verse 5 it says, he is enthroned on high. Who is like Yahweh? He is the great God. But in verse 6 it says, he stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth, and he raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the garbage pile. So he is up here. He is Yahweh. He is the God of the universe, but he's the kind of God that stoops down to look at earth, and then he lifts up those who are fallen. He lifts up those who are needy and the poor from the dust. Yeah, another picture of gentleness. Somebody is down, and instead of kicking them when they're down, they stoop down to pick you up and help you become great. Sometimes with my children, sometimes, like we're outside, we're riding the bicycle or they're riding the scooters, and often they fall down. Most of the times, as a gentle father, what do? I stoop down, I talk to them, and I encourage them to get up and say, you can do it. Sometimes when I'm really tired or annoyed with them, I'll use my foot. I'll say, come on, you're okay, get up. You know, I'll lift up the scooter with my foot. Now that's the opposite of gentleness. Gentleness would be to come down, to say, hey, Owen, are you okay? Joel, are you okay? What happened? You're fine. Let's get up. You could do this. And that's the picture of God. And that's what Jesus is saying. Blessed are those who are meek and gentle in that way. How do we become meek? How do we become meek? This is what John Stott says, pastor, a theologian. He says, it's easy for us to be meek before God. It's only right before the Holy God, the God of the universe, it's right and natural and easy for us to be humble, for us to be meek, and for us to recognize our own sinfulness and to recognize His grace and to approach Him with an appropriate amount of meekness and humility. But it is difficult for us to be meek before other people because of our pride. When God points out your sinfulness, we say, yes, God, I'm so sorry. You're right. I need to repent. When somebody else points out your sinfulness, what do? We say, what did you say? Who do you think you are? You may not say it out loud, but in your heart, you will reject it. If your spouse, your colleague, your friend says, you know, when you were doing that, when you're saying something, this, I didn't think it was right. Have you been spending time with God? We get annoyed. We're like, what? I'm spending enough time with God, okay? Don't worry about me. You worry about yourself. That's how that's how I respond to my brother, who's my accountability partner. And he has no hesitation in asking me these hard questions. He's always asking me, oh, are you praying? Are you reading the Word? And if I'm praying and reading the Word and doing well, I have no problem with that question. I'll say, yeah, I'm spending time with God. If I'm not spending time with God, those questions sound like accusations to me. And I say, I'm fine. I'm spending time with God. Are you spending time with God? You know, and I immediately, it's hard for me to submit to that kind of questions. It's hard for me to be meek and humble. And this is what Stott will quote Martin Lloyd-Jones in explaining this. He says, I believe Martin Lloyd-Jones is right to emphasize that this meekness denotes a humble and gentle attitude to others, which is determined by a true estimate of ourselves. Dr. Lloyd-Jones sums it up admirably. Meekness is essentially a true view of yourself, expressing itself in attitude and conduct with respect to others. The man who is truly meek is the one who is truly amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. A man who is truly meek is one who is truly amazed that God and man will think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. And Stott says, this makes them gentle, humble, sensitive, patient in all their dealings with others. So what is he saying? He's saying, what is the true view of yourself? What should be the true view of ourselves? I am a sinner. You know that parable when Jesus talks about the Pharisee who is praying to God in the temple. He's lifting his eyes and he's saying, God, thank you that I'm not a sinner like this tax collector. And then there's a tax collector who can't even look up. And all he can say is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He's looking down, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's a true view. If we are honest with ourselves, that's who we are. We are the sinfulness of our heart, the wickedness of our heart. The right response is for us to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We are the prodigal son coming home to the father saying, man, I'm so sorry. I don't deserve to be called your son. Isaiah, when God appears to him, he says, you know, he hides his face. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. Peter, when Jesus reveals his glory, he says, get away from me because I am a sinful man. That should be, that is the true view. That is the truth of who we are. We're a sinner. We don't deserve God's grace. We can't be in the presence of God. Yet, God loves us and he thinks so highly of us. And other people do as well. Other people also think highly of us and they treat us with so much grace and respect and love. They treat me better than I deserve. And when we understand that, what that's what Martin Lloyd-Jones is saying. When we understand that God, even though we are this sinner, God treats us with so much grace and love, and other people treat us with so much grace and love, that helps us become truly meek and humble, sensitive and patient with others. So that's what it means to be meek, to be gentle, to be humble. But why does it say they will inherit the earth? I have 1 minute, so I just have one point that I want to say. Nor it's an upside-down kingdom, right? Because blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Normally, we would think what is natural is blessed are the assertive. Blessed are the aggressive. Blessed are those who can fight to get their way, because then they will obtain the earth. They will get what they want. They will get all the things that they are trying to get because you're assertive and you're aggressive and you're trying to get it. And that's the natural way, but Jesus is saying, blessed are the meek, because it's the meek, it's the humble, it's the gentle that will inherit the earth. And I think for me, the key word is inherit. They will inherit the earth. And when I think about the word inherit, and inheritance is not something that you earn, right? Inheritance is not something that you fight for. It's given to you by your father. It's given to you by your father. That's why, you know, some people become rich through their parents' wealth, through the inheritance. We kind of look down on them because we say, you didn't earn your wealth, you inherited it. Meaning you didn't do anything, it's just been given to you. And I think this is the key difference. When you are aggressive and you're assertive and you're not meek, but you fight for what you think you deserve, you're going to get it. You're going to get the thing that you think you deserve, and you will have the earth in that sense, but it won't be an experience of inheriting, receiving. It won't be an experience of receiving the grace and mercy of God and experiencing God fight for you and take care of you in that sense, right? If you feel like you have been unjustly treated by some shop here in Hong Kong and you fight for what you deserve and you fight for that exchange or refund or whatever, and you say, no, and you fight, and you get that refund. Yes, you got the refund, but does it feel good? that you berated that shop owner, that shopkeeper, and you asserted your dominance, and you got what you deserve, sometimes it feels good because you got what you wanted. But deep down, I think you feel like, man, should I have done that? Was that the right way to treat this person? But isn't it so wonderful when you decide to let that go and to practice humility, to practice gentleness, to practice meekness and say, you know what? That's okay. I feel like I was unjustly treated, but God has treated me with so much grace and favor and mercy that I can let this go. And if I don't get that refund, it's fine. And then, because they see your kindness and gentleness, they're like, you know what? Here's your refund anyway. That is like an inheriting the earth moment where it's like, you let that go and you decided to trust God. And God fought on your behalf. And now you get to experience that. And I think that's what, to me, that's how it speaks to me. Sometimes when you practice meekness and gentleness, you feel like, I'm just going to lose out. I'm going to lose to everybody. Because that's kind of what it's like to be meek and gentle. But I think Jesus is saying, no, when you do that, and you choose to lose to other people, God's going to fight for you. And God's going to give you an inheritance of the earth, of these things that we feel like we, you know, we deserve or we want in our lives. Okay, so Wesley is going to lead us in a song. Let's just go before God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit, am I a meek person? Am I gentle in my dealings with other people? You know, what are the areas of my life where I am trampling over people, you know, and I'm fighting for myself? And I'm not stooping down to help others. And let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us in this time.
Your feet.
Humble King, that you you treat us with so much gentleness and humility and kindness, God. Really, our lives, our hearts have been transformed because of your humility and gentleness and grace toward us, God. And I pray that you would help us to do the same, that we would treat others in our lives with the same kind of meekness and gentleness and humility that we have received from you, and that we will trust you, God, with the earth. We will trust you with the things of the world, the things that we feel like we need, God, that we can look to you and know that in you we have everything that we need, God, that you will provide for us and you will give us all that we need, God. So, yeah, help us to practice gentleness today. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, or surgery in regards to cancer. So some of them they're not receiving chemo right at this time, but we're praying that they won't have to receive it again, right? So let's just pray for God's healing to come upon our friends here, and let's pray for strength and encouragement for our friends. Let's pray for the second slide, for those who are ill and also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's hand to move in this time. Let's pray for those who are battling different kinds of infirmities. Let's pray for healing and strength for them. Let's pray for those in the frontline medical field. Let's pray for protection and strength for them as they continue to battle COVID here in our city. And just pray for God's mercy and strength upon them. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and direction and favor upon them. Let's go to the Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for China, SPBJ, SPSH, and the Chongs, and just the churches in China. Let's ask for God's grace and strength. Let's pray for Hyunsu and Ricky. Let's pray for these churches in China. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray for P-Sam, myself, Kiwon, Sue, Shao, Janie, Jung, Amanda, and Mon as the secretary. Let's pray for the board to be united, to be strengthened by God, and to really hear from the Lord in all the decisions that we have to make over the church. Let's pray. And pray for the personal lives as well. Let's pray for the fellowship ministries. Young Adults is starting Single Life this weekend. Let's pray for a really amazing time for all the people participating. Let's pray for men's ministry, for the I think it's only the lunchtime prayer right now, and women's ministry is also just a lunchtime prayer. So let's just pray that they would have a wonderful time when they meet together to pray, and that God will continue to lead the ministry leaders to just hear from God on what they can do for the two ministries. Let's pray for these fellowship ministries. Let's pray for the welcoming team, the barista ministry, and the logistics team. Right now, welcoming team has been growing, so praise God. Let's pray that P. Samuel will be able to really work well with the team to help the welcoming team to really minister to people that come to our church. The barista is on break right now, so maybe we can pray that the restriction will be lifted, that we can have food and drinks in churches again soon. And pray for Tim. Right now, he's the only one doing our logistics. Let's pray for this team to grow as well. Let's pray for our pregnant moms. Let's pray for Hina and for their baby and any other pregnant moms that you might know of. Let's just pray for them as well and pray for God's mercy and grace and protection over the mom and the baby. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today. Blue Pool, Chai Tea, Fortress, Gia, TST, Westville, King's Court. Let's pray for an amazing time tonight. Thank you, God. Yeah, we lift up all these prayers to you. Thank you so much that you hear our prayers and that you love us so much, God. And we want to love you and worship you and praise you today, this morning, and throughout the day, God. Help us throughout today to be humble, to be gentle, to be meek before you and before others. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.